America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I mean, there's something about us not being on track. It's called the economies of scale. And what happens when you're not on the wrong, you know, when you're not on the right track, we're spending money all over the place. It gets to be so inefficient. Our policies, everything, they're just not hitting the mark. And, you know, you've got to think about this. You know, the Bible talks about it in terms of having holes in your pocket. And this is what America has found themselves in. But they don't want to come to the reality that the reason that we are subjected to such insanity is because a nation founded by God has turned its back on God. And so here we are. And when is it going to get better? Ladies and gentlemen, until we turn back to God. That's the bottom line. So we're going to have this kind of ongoing insanity taking place. So you think it's bad now? get ready. I mean, you know, and this is all part of the challenge that we've got. I mean, yes, we're encouraged to a certain degree that you have Donald Trump, who is doing some things that you say, okay, he's moving in the right direction. He's gotten away from this this idea, which we had in the previous administration, that Christians were only here to be targeted, people of faith. And, you know, that is starting to be adjusted, and thank God for that. But if we're really going to do something positive and get this country back on track, dare I say, then we need to go back and find out, like most businesses. I want to bring Bruce Thatcher on right now, because Bruce is a historian. He understands all this stuff. We're going to talk immigration, too. Bruce Thatcher is with us. Bruce, always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine, Bill, and are you?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I was just saying to the people that, and you know this from your business experience as well, most businesses, when they find themselves on the wrong track, it takes a wise CEO to come in and say, hey, when did we lose momentum here? When was there a bad turn, you know, in our culture, in our decision making, that has affected what it is that we are reaping right now?
That's true with business, and that's true with almost any organization I've ever been aware of. Mm-hmm. It is the CEO, it's the leader at the top who sets the direction, and without that direction being set, it's just a mishmash and a wandering.
Mm. And it's worse yet if you would be in a company that would say, hey, look, we have all these sacred cows, you can't touch them. Then it's prohibitive. You got barriers to entry, barriers to resolution that you'll never arrive with, you know, arrive to, even though you may work that much harder. It just becomes a very costly situation. And here in this country, we continue to ignore the obvious at our own peril. And no matter how much harder we work or what kind of CEO, president that we have in place, we've got to get back to the basics, and that is the spiritual foundation and understanding of what this country was built on.
I agree with you very much on that. I have worked for companies where those sacred cows have literally destroyed the company because people, you just couldn't make progress. It was not possible. And I think that the values of the founders of this country are being ignored or rejected so much that it is making it very difficult to get any kind of cohesive or unity involved in our legislative processes.
Right. And with the ideas that they're presenting here, Bruce, I mean, if there was empirical evidence to say, hey, look at what's going on, you know, here in Europe, we got these five countries that are utilizing this type of program, and they're making hay. They've answered a lot of problems, you know, within their countries and all this good stuff. Instead, they import these ideas that they may have failed overseas miserably, and it's cost people's lives. It has crippled them financially. And yet, you know, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, and some of these others, and I would say even some Republicans come up with some goofy ideas. You go, just tell me where it's working. Yeah, give me the empirical evidence, and you might convince me. But right now, I don't see anything, what you're trying to sell me, that has any track record of success.
The conversation shuts down if your arguments or your point of view or your facts don't fit the program of the person you're talking to. in our society these days, the conversation stops.
Yes, and that's only the least of it. The worst thing is that they get the three-letter agency, people like the FBI and the CIA and on here, and they empower, they weaponize their thoughts with the power of these organizations to find a way to bring you down. So either you go along to get along, or you're going to get a knock on the door from, the bureaucrats.
We have such a split in ideology and in point of view, not only in the Congress, but in the country, but it particularly is reflected in the Congress when you look at the votes on almost any issue. There's a few exceptions, but almost any issue, it's 80-90% to one.
Right.
On one party. There is no bipartisan consensus on almost anything. We talk about the budget, we talk about appropriations, we talk about legislating anything, and these days, bipartisan as a terminology means if I get three votes from the opposition.
Exactly. I know, it's amazing how they come up. Yeah, it's a bipartisan deal. Go, well, how many votes did you get? Oh, I got three. Okay.
I had one of the opposite party who voted, so it's bipartisan. Where if you look in some of the real bipartisan accomplishments of history, generally bipartisan meant that you got a majority of the opposition, of the
right.
minority party, to support you.
Well,
and I haven't seen that for a long, long time.
Well, that's what happens when we're ideologically fixed. It's like you write in today's talking points, Bruce, that George Bernard Shaw, I love this line, we learn from history that we learn nothing from history.
Really, we kind of laugh at that because
yes.
it's kind of clever, but
it is pathetic.
It is so sad. It is so sad that it's true.
Mm.
We've been talking about immigration reform.
Yes.
And everybody's, we've got DREAM Act, RAISE Act, the Gang of Eight. We've DACA and DAPA, chain migration. Terminology and the acronyms go on and on and on about what we're going to do about immigration. But if you look back through all of those kinds of things, almost nothing actually ever happens.
Mm. Yeah, this whole idea of comprehensive immigration reform, it's laughable, isn't it?
Comprehensive means whatever the speaker wants it to mean.
Mm, yeah.
And if you want to go to, when you start talking about real comprehensive reform, the last time, in my opinion, we had real comprehensive immigration reform was in 1965 when we got the Hart-Celler Act, which is our current immigration policy. In my opinion, it's flawed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the legislative history of that, it really shows what bipartisan is, and it really shows what it takes, I think, to get a comprehensive immigration bill passed.
What a novel idea, Bruce, if we just said, hey, we're going to go back and enforce that bill, right? I mean, they have taken the teeth out of it and ignored it to our own peril, and this is adding to the chaos of our not-so-much comprehensive immigration reform bill. Bruce Thatcher is with us. The conversation continues. Stay with us. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Bruce Thatcher, another one of our favorite historians, is with us, and we're talking immigration. He has become, little did you know, Bruce, that you'd become the resident expert on immigration reform with all your history knowledge, right? But immigration has been around forever. I mean, we've always questioned, okay, how do we bring people into this country, allow people to come in here that are going to add to, not take away? And along the way, also, you have the, international crisis of refugees from time to time that need to come in, and we try to accommodate. We're giving, a benevolent country, I think, for the most part. We try to be. But how do you do this in a way that is win-win for all concerned?
Well, you have to get what you have. We talked about bipartisan a little bit earlier. You really need national consensus.
Yeah.
And that equates down to bipartisan representation of those particular issues in the Congress. I had mentioned that the Hart-Celler Act 1965 is the example of of really comprehensive immigration control, because it changed dramatically the overall point of view toward immigration. It was passed in 1965, but it began arguably in 1952 when President Truman commissioned a commission to do a comprehensive study on immigration, and it took them a year or so to come up with it, and they published it, and it largely served as a blueprint for the Hart-Celler Act. Truman didn't get much done beyond that on immigration, but Eisenhower, to show how the leadership played a role, Eisenhower played a big role, even though not legislatively, in that Eisenhower enforced the laws.
Mm-hmm.
He enforced the laws, and many think it was a terrible program, but he in those days it was called shipping the wetbacks back to Mexico, and he deported upwards near a million people or so in a short period of time who were illegals, and that in part caused the people who were benefiting from their services to scream that they needed some changes. And Kennedy came along. One of Kennedy's things that he wanted to do was comprehensive immigration reform. We were being charged of being bigoted. Our policy was worldwide was becoming known as a whites policy.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy wanted to change that. Assassination cut off his ability to do that, but Lyndon Johnson picked it up with his Great Society and pushed immigration reform along with civil rights. So in 1965, we had all this leadership came along, and in 1965, what we had was overwhelming control of the Congress by the Democratic Party.
Right.
And you had at the head Lyndon Johnson, who was probably the most savvy legislative-minded president this country has ever seen.
Yeah, you talk about walking. He didn't walk softly. He walked with heavy boots and a big stick is what he did.
He sure did. And the big stick was a big part of it, because he had markers out to just about everybody in Congress owed him something.
Yeah, he got pictures.
He sure did. So we come to this vote, and at that time, the Democratic Party had 68% control of both houses of the 89th Congress, and they passed comprehensive immigration control with some phony arguments, in my opinion, but they passed it. And if you look at the votes, it's very interesting. The Democrats, even though they had 68% of both houses, they had 70% of the Senate. They could not have passed it without substantial Republican
buy-in. Support. Yeah, exactly.
It passed with overwhelming support in total, but the Republican support was always higher than the Democrat support in both the House and the Senate. And he was able to do that because of two things. The American people were in favor of doing something about immigration. They had been conditioned. The program had been well articulated, and the Senate and the House were it was a bipartisan activity.
Well, and this is what something like this, especially when you talk, of comprehensive reform, it demands. It doesn't leave it as an option. It demands bipartisanship, and this is the problem. And, if we're not going to have bipartisan buy-in, then just set the doggone thing aside for right now. And they're trying to force a round peg in a square hole here. And, you imagine, here it is in 1965, what was created with the Hart-Celler Act. What's going to happen in 2018 or 2019 with this kind of bitter divide? What kind of policies, what kind of legislation are we going to come up with when it's a one-sided dog and pony show?
Mostly, my opinion, mostly what we're going to, the legislation we're going to come up with is no legislation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody seems to be interested only in the political advantage it'll give them.
Yes.
I just don't see a uniform focus on what the country needs or wants. It's always the needs of this group or that group or the other group or this party or that party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to end up in any major legislation on immigration, let alone comprehensive.
Well, what do we do here, Bruce? I mean, understanding this is that, you know, we just keep paying for this inefficiency where the government is going round in circles. It's like one of their feet has been, you know, pinned to the ground, and they just, you know, they kind of remind me of Billy Crystal when you see some of the early movies, you know, when he was dancing. He goes, yeah, he says, my parents could only afford, you know, dancing lessons for, you know, my left side. My right side, I never got those dance lessons.
Ronald Reagan said that you can accomplish anything if you don't care who gets the credit.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
And if we could have leadership which would probably have to come from Trump and this administration, saying we're going to begin with a significant study of the subject,
mm-hmm.
and begin to condition the country to what the realities are, and then begin to realize that it's going to take not one administration, but probably, and not one Congress, but probably several. Maybe we could get there. But
yeah,
as long as we stand so head to head with each other, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, going back to your earlier point, you know, at least Eisenhower said, okay, maybe it's a bad law, but let's enforce the law. I mean, it gives you empirical evidence then at that point, because you're saying, hey, I'm working with the law here. Here's what's going on. Right now it's so wacky because it's been abused. Now we have sanctuaries. As if things aren't confusing enough, let's bring sanctuary cities into play too, right?
Yeah. What the presidency can do is enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they're limited to, and deal with certain executive orders and regulations. And Trump is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This administration is doing a lot of enforce the law, and I think that's where the focus, when people, because of the enforcement, become more and more aware of a lot of the realities and the dynamics of the situation, I think there will be a better taste for fixing it.
Well, certainly with this omnibus bill that comes up, you know, the stomach of the Beltway does not want to handle building a wall. When they throw chump change at this, I mean, Donald Trump needs to invest his dollars, you know, that he gives back to the government. We'll just put it on the wall, and maybe we just have a cakewalk or something. You know, we'll do a fundraiser, a crowdfunding raiser for, you know, for the wall. I mean, this is ridiculous.
All of that's just posturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's come down to, all at our expense. And, what are we doing here? You know, we're just, again, we got one foot nailed to the ground. We're going in circles, and we act like we're trying to, we're told, anyway, by the mainstream media that progress is happening and things are moving, you know, moving forward. But I see more in circles than forward. Bruce Thatcher is with us. Bruce, remind everybody how they can be in touch with you, your website.
History Speaks Today, oneword.com. And they can read all about it.
You can read all about it. His books, brilliant books, give you some great background on immigration and also the rise and fall of governments. Brilliant as well. Bruce, thank you so much. Always appreciate it.